Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 92.
How did you happen to call him Harvey?
Well, Harvey's his name.
How do you know that?
It was a rather interesting coincidence on that, Doctor. One night several years ago, I was walking early in the evening down along Fairfax Street. It was between 18th and 19th. You know the block?
Yes, yes.
I just put Ed Hickey into a taxi. Ed had been mixing his rye with his gin, I just felt that he needed conveying. Well, anyway, I was walking down along the street, and I heard this voice saying, "Good evening, Mr. Dowd." Well, I turned around, and here was this big six-foot rabbit leaning up against a lamppost. I thought nothing of that, because when you've lived in a town as long as I've lived in this one, you get used to the fact that everybody knows your name. And naturally, I went over to chat with him. And he said to me, he said, "Ed Hickey was a little spiff this evening, or could I be mistaken?" Well, of course, he was not mistaken. I think the world and all of Ed, but he was spiffed. Well, we talked like that for a while, and then I said to him, I said, "You have the advantage on me. You know my name, and I don't know yours." And right back at me, he said, "What name do you like?" Well, I didn't even have to think twice about that. Harvey's always been my favorite name. So I said to him, I said, "Harvey." And this is the interesting thing about the whole thing. He said, "What a coincidence. My name happens to be Harvey."
Say, "Please, God, tell us what is right. Tell us what is true. I mean, there is no justice. The rich win, the poor are powerless. We become tired of hearing people lie. And after a time, we become dead. A little dead. We think of ourselves as victims. And we become victims. We become weak. We doubt ourselves, we doubt our beliefs. We doubt our institutions. And we doubt the law.
Hello and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Zelag, and along with me I have my good friend and co-host, Eric Suzanne Williams.
I like how it's not in the scripting still.
No, I just give you girly middle names. In this episode, we are continuing on our theme of movies about alcohol, and this week we are coming to you from the Plowshare Brewery Company in Lincoln, Nebraska. Check them out at plowsharebrewing.com. This week we are joined for the drinking, and only the drinking, by Annelle Strauss, as she didn't see our two movies, 1950s Harvey and the 1982 film The Verdict.
Hello.
Before getting into our discussion, we should mention we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Get your sweet asses over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of their other shows over there. And we are also joined by Matt, who is the owner of the Plowshare Brewery, and he gave us some amazing beers. So if you want to go ahead and talk about all of the great drinks we have in front of us, go for it.
Well, thanks. I have a question first. Eric, your middle name is Rachel? Was that really right?
Suzanne.
No.
I gave him like a beautiful, like flowery nickname or like middle name, because I feel like that really adds some spice.
She's
got to
punch it up a little. It's such a generic name. So she's like, "Wow, Eric Williams, that's so boring."
Right.
Susanna has been the most common one.
Yeah, flows really well, though. Eric, Suzanne, Williams. So.
I always like to know my customers. That's one of the things we do when somebody comes in is we try to size them up and we say, well, you know, this is the internal narrative.
Okay.
Have they been here before? Do they know what craft beer is? Okay, they're giving the body language signals that say they don't know
they want
that they should stand under the order here sign and order. Or maybe it's, should we go in here? Or they come up and ask for a Bud Light or a Miller Light, and we say, we don't have that. We do make our own beer here. Why don't you try the Farm Boy Cream Ale?
Yeah.
Which is what I got you.
Yes, it's and very good.
You like it, yeah. I mean, it's super crisp, refreshing. It's still a craft beer, but it's made according to the recipes of original cream ales, which usually have a little rice or corn in them. It helps lighten the body. Mm-hmm. It's our lightly hop, most lightly hopped beer.
Right.
And so easy drinkable. In other parts of the country, they might call this a lawnmower beer. I think in Nebraska,
yeah.
What
or
I'm
like
finding out, it's a
swing.
Well, port okay. swing beer. I think it's a hay baling beer from what I've heard from some other customers.
Okay.
You can operate the tractor without hurting yourself.
Right.
So,
yeah.
That's what Rachel's looking for.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm in tractors.
Are you
a
tractor driver?
I am not. No.
Or just cars.
Sometimes she has to do the front yard mowing.
I do. I'm allowed to do the front yard mowing.
Awesome. The next beer up we have is the Tailgate Red that Anel's drinking, and that's an Irish red ale. It's designed to be something like the traditional Irish red ales, if there can be said to be such a thing. It's debatable, mm-hmm. but Smithwick's from Ireland is probably one of the more common ones. The idea is not to be concerned about how dark colored it is, and I'm very famous for saying dark is not a flavor. So, you know, look at the beer, yes, but also taste it and then decide how easy drinking
it
is.
Yeah, when you set it down, I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, you were a little worried.
Big girl pants on, but it's really good.
It's actually, don't you find it quite drinkable?
Yeah,
and
oh, yeah. It's going
to
go down well.
It goes without saying, but I think every beer has to be drinkable, and we endeavor to do that here at Plowshare. So you want to have what's called a palate progression, mm-hmm. where the beer maybe smells one way, looks one way, tastes a little different, finishes different still, so that there's a small roller coaster going on in your mouth.
Sure.
If you don't want to think about that, a drinkable beer will still satisfy you. But if you do want to think about it, it has interest, it has depth, mm-hmm. and you go, hey, you know, wow, it starts a little, you know, maybe just a little bit sweet. Maybe then there's a little bit of bitter toffee, mm-hmm. and then maybe it finishes with toast and a dry mineral finish. That's the Tailgate Red. And you don't have to think about that, but if you want to, the depth is there.
Yeah.
I think of beer sort of like jazz music, that there's the surface, the melody, and then there's whatever keeps bringing you back to listen to it over and over and over again as you grow in depth. It probably applies to movies as well.
That's awesome.
Definitely. Yeah.
That's a really great metaphor. I was like, damn, that's good.
Well, beer is the metaphor for everything. I only reach into the rest of life and bring it back to
right.
the beer. But that's what happens when you think beer and brew beer and drink it.
I definitely just got all those things. I went through the roller coaster.
And
it was Elle's good.
Usually a big wine drinker, so she's used to kind of going through the depths of...
Yeah, like I work at a restaurant where we do wine training.
Right. Well, I mean, there's that guy, that's Tool's name, Robert Parker, for example, okay? You know, he writes for a magazine called The Wine Expectorator.
Okay.
And, you know, he talks about a wine that has a 30-second hang time. The IPA that Eric's drinking, that's got like a 10-minute hang time. There's no question about it. It's super drinkable, mm-hmm. but it's building up a bitter feeling in the cheeks. That's the trigeminal nerve. He's rubbing his cheeks right now. You know, that's the trigeminal nerve. So you have smell, you have taste, and you also have other sort of stimuli that are reported to the brain that come through the nerve bundle that's in your cheeks. Mm-hmm. That's where tannins in wine are reported. That's where hop bitterness is partially reported. That's where chili heat, you can have a beer with chilies in it. Sensations, carbonation, tingle on the tongue, all of those things aren't really flavors,
mm-hmm.
but they're synthesized with the flavors and aromas by the brain, and they add to the overall experience. And beer is great for that because it has carbonation tingle, it has hop bitterness, mm-hmm. it has malty sweetness, it has minerally saltiness, it has, you know, so many, and has herbal qualities, and all those things get put together in your brain, and you start having this smell memory thing,
yeah.
you know, where maybe you smell a candy from your childhood or a fruit or your grandmother's lavatory, in my case, lavender. I remember I had a German beer that had a particular hop in it, and it smelled of lavender, and it reminded me of my grandmother's parlor. And it turns out, yeah, that's a hop that's known for its floral qualities. And you know, then those memories, now you build a new memory on an old memory, mm-hmm. and that beer becomes that much more special for you. So it's important that beer has layers like that.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I saw that you, like, on one of your, like, little sides, you have pickles on there. Like what you were saying with the brain and, like, memory. Like, whenever I open a pickle jar, the sides of my cheeks start to tingle and my mouth starts to water.
Yeah.
It's just like that memory of like, oh, this is going to happen. Like, you're about ready to feel that, but I haven't even tasted it yet. It's just like part of the brain. Like,
that's right. That's why we say, you eat with your eyes before you eat with your mouth.
Yeah, totally.
The same is true with beer.
That's why they put a pickle on the side of a plate though, right? Just to get your mouth to water a little bit.
I never thought about that.
That's why it's a garnish, though, is to get your mouth watering so
then
you can taste the rest of your meal.
I think that's also why in beer drinking cultures, which, you know, America's come a long ways.
Yeah.
But in beer drinking cultures like Great Britain and Belgium and Germany, hoppy beers are the first course beers. Mm. And, you know, you can think of great examples from any of those cultures because hops aid digestion. They stimulate, I'm not to be crass about it, but they stimulate belching and digestion, and they get your stomach ready for the fact that you're about to sit down to a hearty meal, and that's all part of the program. I think that exactly the same thing a pickle does.
Nice. Well, what is it that you're having there?
I'm having the IPA, same as you, Eric, and so, but, you know, I can.
Right before dinner, right?
So I guess you're going to enjoy your dinner a lot more than we are.
I know, because we're going to dinner after this, and yours is going to taste that much better.
Well, we haven't tasted, and we might have to take a station break for that, is I have two Belgian saisons on right now, one made with dandelions and one not.
Oh,
and, yeah. Okay. We might have to take an intermission.
Saison, that's a big Sean Stanglin favorite.
Yeah, one of his friends. And
yeah, from Chicago, for people that have listened to the several podcasts that he's been on. He's always a big Saison guy.
Yeah, and I can't say that I've had one of those.
No.
Well, we'll break that tonight. Yeah, the Saison is a great category of beer, and I won't call it a style, although anytime people enter competitions and they define themselves in front of the consumer in the market by way of labeling, they have to have, they ought to have some sort of identity for the beer. So, like Magic Hat number 9. What the hell is that? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, over time you realize it's an apricot ale, but that's really rude to your customer. I don't believe in doing that. I think, you know, styles are important because they tell people what to expect, mm-hmm. and you have to be true to the expectation of what that style is. So if you make a really wimpy IPA, you defeated the expectation. If you make an IPA that's too malty, you failed again. So it's always, the brewer is always having to configure their product to meet the customer expectation. And I think that's a fiduciary responsibility we have with the customer is to tell them what we think this is and that it's a legit version of that. That being said, Saisons are not like that. Saisons are not a beer that's a style. They're not of a certain color. They're not of a certain alcohol strength. They're not of a certain composition. They're a beer that was brewed for a certain purpose. Mm. Okay?
And what is that?
And that purpose is for satisfying the thirst of thirsty summer farm workers. Okay? So in a small family farm, which people in Nebraska can totally relate to, in a small family farm, in the wintertime, you're not in the field farming. Everything's under snow. You're doing other things. You're repairing equipment. You're sorting seeds. You're making other things
right.
that you can do to make a living until next year comes around. I've known old farmers who made rocking chairs or caned furniture or made pickles or did all sorts of other things in the wintertime mm-hmm. when they couldn't be doing their farming. It's the same with Belgian and Northern French farmers. They were doing this. They were brewing beer, oftentimes with a lot of the grains that they grew during the summertime. They would keep those beers in cellars or in cool barns until the summertime, and then they would roll them out as part of the rations that were given to migrant farm workers and their own staff during the hard work of the summertime. Long days, 10 to 14 hours in the field, sometime around what we would call supper time, the farmer's daughter or farmer's wife would come out with a basket of goods, whatever the farm had. So preserved meats like sausages, cheeses, fresh breads, bottles of beer. And that was the ration that you were given for your evening meal. And then it would inspire you to work a couple more hours, you know, pulling up sweet potatoes or sugar beets.
So they only got one
beets.
Beer then.
No, they got they did pretty well, actually.
Sounds like it's
going to
take a few.
Yeah,
they're going to be back out there.
And they might have had another one at bedtime, but the important thing is that a saison is not debilitating in strength. You know, there are very strong saisons out there, but there's no specific rule about what color it is, how hoppy it is. It should be defined rather by it is incredibly refreshing and dry, thirst quenching, gets the dirt out of your mouth, right? Because you've been, mm-hmm. you know, in the field all day.
Right.
And inspires you to continue on for a few more hours. I mean, all beers should strive to do that.
I know, this is like a super inspirational beer. Like, yeah. I'm really excited.
So you kind of have like, more freedom with this then?
Yes.
You kind of have guidelines, but you have more freedom of where you can
like
go with it.
Interpretation.
Yeah.
We have guidelines. I mean, you know, and it's problematic because, consumers say, oh, I like saisons, or I've had a lot of saisons that I like. But if we're not careful, it can end up being defined by the idea that you must add spices to it, whereas maybe yes, maybe no. It must have wheat, maybe yes, maybe no. It may be pale, it may be amber, who cares? You know? The question is this something that you would have after a toilsome day that would inspire you to work a few more hours in the field? That's what a saison is. And nowadays, many people don't work in the field, but they work in offices, and it's equally toilsome under 9 hours of fluorescent light.
Right.
And is this going to be the satisfying thing that rejuvenates them?
Make me want to go home and work more.
Yeah.
Just have one on my
own. Not while you're driving, of course. That would be horrible.
Yeah. We're close to the bike path.
There you go.
And as far as we know, your risk of injuring somebody else when you were on the bicycle is probably low.
Right. Yourself.
It's a personal crime.
Yeah.
Before we get into the movies, tell us a little bit about Plowshare in general.
Sure, I'm happy to. So Plowshare first had the idea in 2011. The idea was that there aren't enough good breweries in this part of the world. Nebraska's late to the party. I don't mean to be pejorative, but you know,
agreed.
craft beer has picked up in other parts of the country before us as
care
other
how yeah. Nebraska is
yeah. late to the party. Like, that should be our state motto. Nebraska, late to the party.
Yeah. Like traveling from Colorado to here, like the music is always there first and then we kind of get it and then like the beers are always trickling in. Yeah,
right. So instead of the good life, it's the slow good life.
but it's still good. It's
sort of I've joked, I said we brew slow beer in the slow food movement. You know, because we're not hypersensitive to moving things out of a tank as fast as possible and getting them into market. We're going to sell them when they're ready.
Yeah.
Which is something we borrow from the monks of Belgium. You know, they put a sign out in front of their abbey and says, okay, we've got this one today. And then people who won't know about it come and get it, and the rest are SOL. And next time, and next day, maybe there's something different sign out there.
Nice. Beer of the day.
Beer of the day, yeah. So the origins of Plowshare name are really we were looking for something that typified the Midwest and sort of what we considered the most wholesome, durable part of the Midwest is the spirit of pioneers and settlers and early farmers and agriculture. And Nebraska's, you know, very keen on growing food for us here and elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think also Plowshare is indicative of a new movement in food, which is smaller family farms are coming back and tenant farms and growing specific crops. And rather than just going for the big row crops that make all the money, but growing good local food. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that I first encountered when I first came through here and stopped at the farmer's market one day. And I said, hey, you know, this is really great. You know, there's a lot going on here. So that's and then the Plowshare, the name of Plowshare is that that pelvis-shaped piece of iron that is in an old plow that turns the earth, cuts and
Got
turns
it.
The earth.
Okay.
And we have one hanging on the front of the building out front. And but that's just a piece of iron. It's not very attractive and it's not alive. So we chose the ox as our logo instead, the ox that pulls the walking plow and the farmer behind that. So it's all there and hence our slogan, get behind the plow.
Nice.
You know. So that's really what we're about. I think if I was to put it in a soundbite, I'd say we're about classic styles and adventurous seasonals. So the beers that we're drinking right now, the cream ale, the tailgate red, Irish red ale, and the IPA are all, they're pretty classic in nature. And, if I get a chance, I'll get you some of the saisons and you'll see what kind of fun stuff we can do as well.
Cool. Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you for that. All right. So our first film is from 1950 and it is Harvey.
We predict you'll greet Harvey with laughter and rousing applause. How do we know? Because for 5 long years, audiences did just that on Broadway for the most talked about Pulitzer Prize winning comedy of our time. And now at last, Harvey comes to the screen, better, richer, funnier than it ever was on the stage. Starring James Stewart as Elwood P. Dowd, America's most amiable citizen. With hilarious Josephine Hull and a grand cast. And once again, the critics are raving. Says Luella Parsons. And Walter Winchell. And Hedda Hopper.
Due to his insistence that he has an invisible 6-foot rabbit for a best friend, a whimsical middle-aged man is thought by his family to be insane, but he may be wiser than anyone knows.
All right, Chris, so tell me about, this is your pick.
Tell me
about why you selected the Jimmy Stewart 1950s film, Harvey.
I like Jimmy Stewart, first of all. He's kind of my guy.
You like him a lot more than I...
He's dead now.
Right.
He is. So.
He is. Yes. I liked him.
You liked him. You liked.
I think he might have died before I was born.
You like the him that was.
Right. Mm. What else has he been in that we've talked about? Philadelphia Story.
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life, of course.
Didn't we talk about that?
Uh-uh.
12 Angry Men.
Boom. Full circle.
We did It's a Wonderful Life, didn't we?
I don't think so.
I think we did that for a
Mr.
Christmas.
Smith Goes to Washington.
Yes.
I think we did that for a Christmas episode.
Oh, I was drunk during the Christmas episodes. Well, I really don't remember those.
Full disclosure.
I'm going to tell you that we did that. Getting drunk, that's kind of a regular occurrence.
You're right. So there. But I thought I had seen this like whole movie, and I apparently hadn't. Like, I knew the premise. Everyone knows the premise. And I was like, oh, this is fun, I'll, like, revisit it. But there were parts of it I was like, I don't remember.
And it was funny, too, because it was like, oh, yeah, well, yeah, I'm going to do Harvey.
Yeah.
Oh, you've never heard of that? I was like, no.
Shut your mouth. I never said that.
It's like, I've never heard of it. And it was like the reverse of how it normally is. It's like, oh, Rachel, you've never heard of this movie, please.
I've heard of it, obviously.
And it was
which, because he watches too many movies.
Yeah, and it was that kind of idea to where it's like, oh, man, she's totally shaming me that I've never seen or heard of this movie before.
Any chance I get, I will shame you.
So watching it this time and like watching the, maybe for the first time, what did you think of it?
I thought it was adorable. Mm. I really don't have a Jimmy Stewart movie that I don't think is adorable, and this was pretty much in the wheelhouse of, I mean, this was, it was seriously just him and a couple other people, but it was mostly just him.
It's mostly him.
Just like hanging out, doing sidearms to a rabbit.
Yeah, doing
that was pretty good.
Yeah, right?
That was good.
I've been working on it. Yeah. So, and Elle's been gone, so.
Right. Yeah. You just creep
along with myself. The cat.
Yeah, I've been talking to the cat, like, oh, Joey. So, this was the first time I'd heard of this movie. This is the first time I've obviously seen it. I don't typically think of myself as a big Jimmy Stewart fan. Like, that's not somebody that I would say, oh, yeah, I really like his movies. But I really like this one.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was really...
We never agree on things.
I know. I was really, really pleased with it. So, at the very beginning... he's, you know, getting something in the mail.
First scene!
Yeah, and he's, like, doing his pursed lips and, like, sort of drunk walk. And, like, oh, you know, after you.
Because he's on his way to the bar.
Yeah, and he's, like, after you, and he's got his arm around, like, an invisible thing, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what is this? And, you know, you find out that he's got Harvey, and it's a 6'3½"
puka.
Inch puka.
Yeah, I'm looking
rabbit.
At pictures right now,
because
I haven't seen it.
And what's funny is that, you know, some of the trivia that I looked up was that Jimmy Stewart's 6'2 or 6'3", like, he's a taller guy.
Oh, and he's always looking up at it.
So he, like, had to pretend that it was bigger.
So he had to pretend that it was, like, 6'8", he said.
Oh.
So, because he's really, like,
because he should,
like,
just be looking, like, straight across.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
But that first scene.
Like, it makes a difference, really, though.
Right. That first scene, the guy gives him the mail, and he's like, oh, thanks. And he just rips it up. He's like, fuck your mail. Like, I don't even care.
He goes, oh, thanks.
Yeah. Like, makes a show of it before he even, like, leaves the corner of the... of the block. Yeah.
Was it his mail?
Yeah, he was delivering, like, hand-delivering a letter. He's like, thank you. And then he's like, nah, not my problem.
Yeah, so my first note was that drunken Jimmy Stewart is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Just because the way that he is and the way that he talks. And I was just like, okay, well, I'm in for a treat because he's going to just be kind of ridiculous.
But he was so nice.
And he's very, you know, it describes him as being whimsical, and that's very appropriate, I think,
right?
Because he's just very like, oh, you know, whatever. It's kind of like how Anel lives, to where it's like, oh, whatever.
So I was going to say, is it okay if it's like, you're a nice drunk, then it's all right. Well, because if you're an angry drunk, it's okay. It's not okay
right.
when you are drunk. Like, they're like, you have a problem, you need to get help. But if you're a nice drunk, then, you know, you're nice.
That's
but
he is.
I put a star next to that line in there where, like, my motto is, you can either be a bitch or you can be nice. Like, those are your things.
All
and
right.
His mom tells him, be oh so smart or oh so pleasant.
Because
you can't be either or. Like, you have to be. So, like, I thought that was really funny that that was, like, one of my preacher things.
One of the other things that I put down was that his sister and the niece are some of the most shrill people I've ever seen.
Man.
I'm like, oh my god, it's tough to listen to because it was just so piercing through the speakers when I was listening through the audio system when I was listening.
Yeah, because you didn't really download it.
Because you, you know, didn't watch it illegally
or
anything.
But I wrote,
this is a difficult movie to find.
Yeah, it is. But I said if I had a choice between being at that stupid girls' party or being at the bar, I would obviously be at the bar. That place was ridiculous.
Yeah. And I did like how the guy at the bar who doesn't see Harvey
is
just like, oh, he's going to pay for it. The guy at the end of the bar talking
But the bartender was like totally in on it. He's like, hey, you want a seat for your friend? And he's like, oh, thanks. You know Harvey likes sitting here. And he's like, two martinis?
Yeah.
And like, he just like... Totally, because he goes in there every day, so he was just, like, all about it.
And it's funny because, like, the martinis are done like that. That was really good for the acoustics. So he gets the martinis, and it's basically like a shot in a martini glass because it's done so quickly.
Just not even chilled.
It's just
like
here you go. You know, it's so quick.
It's only fancy when it's in a fancy glass.
It's got to be fancy, yeah. But there's no vermouth.
No.
It's just all about it.
Yeah. Or olives either.
Well, do you think he was actually just a grown-up boy that was still playing with his imaginary child?
Ooh, now that's interesting because this is listed as one of the top fantasy movies of all time. And there is a question of the director or the sort of owner or whatever of the mental institution that he gets put in starts to believe maybe that Harvey's real.
He saw him, though, didn't
he? And he says that he saw him, and
his
sister says that she saw him, and they see the portrait, which the sister says was the mom and Jimmy Stewart, but it's actually the rabbit, and she's all freaked out when she sees that, and that's why she gets committed.
And who painted that picture?
Yeah, I don't know. It was a commission, I think. So I don't know. That's tough to say. And I do like that they didn't really reveal one way or the other.
They didn't.
They did talk about how they had debated whether they should have a person in a suit
at the end
of
or something,
up in a silhouette, or whether they should just leave it up to your own imagination.
That's what they should have done with Godzilla. Never show up.
Well, one of the things I wrote at the end, I said, could this movie be made today? So because it's, I think there's too great of a temptation to show Harvey. And make more
right,
sense.
America, give them what they want.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't think today, I don't think they would leave it without a clear answer.
It would tell you
there's always an answer at the end.
Right, maybe this was the time when Hollywood was making movies that, by today's definition, have a European sensibility to them, a French ending, so to speak, you know, where you just, you know, Americans see a French movie and they go, oh, that ending made no sense to me, right, because they want everything tied up. Because,
and a nice little bow.
Because yeah, thanks to George Lucas, we think everything is either evil or grand. And, you know, there can be nothing in between. And the French are the in-between. Mm. You know, that their entire culture is based on nuance, not on extremes.
Yeah.
And that, personally, for films, I like to go for things that are a little less obvious like that. But, you know, this period also reminds me of the original Manchurian Candidate, which was such an amazing film, mm-hmm, except for the fact that Angela Lansbury looked exactly the same for 55 years.
Yeah. Yeah, she
did great.
I think she looked old when she was in the 50s, and she looked the same in the 90s, yeah, you know. But it had sort of elements of suspense and mystery that were wrapped up in a daily life thing.
Yeah.
And I like that.
They weren't just like...
You know what? I mean, even life does have those mysteries, those strange things that we can't explain, and we decide whether or not we're going to try to explain them or not, and just go, hey, you know, that's what it is, and you know, I don't get that. But more often than not, I think we try to explain things, and usually we make up a story instead of just accept it as an unknown explanation.
Right, just let your... And that's what's fun, like, when we do, because I didn't see this one, but when we do watch movies that kind of have, like, an ending, we're like, well, what do you think about this, or what do you think about that? Like, that's fun. Like, that's enjoyable.
That's
can be frustrating, because we're so used to being spoon-fed, but it still is fun, too.
Those are the saisons.
Nice.
Ooh, there you go.
Drop the mic.
And you're out.
Those were the sorts of movies that I think inspired the show, because we went and saw Prestige.
Yes.
It was one of the movies that we saw. So Christopher Nolan's Prestige, where it's about magic. You remember that, right, Strauss?
Yeah.
I'll say this. So that was Christian Bale.
You have to remember Christian Bale.
Oh, obviously.
And Hugh Jackman. They're like fighting each other. The magicians are...
Oh,
fighting.
And they kept... Okay, yeah. I don't want to spoil. And there was the hat that kept coming out.
From like,
okay, yes.
From
okay.
Like 2 years ago, you don't want to spoil it. From when we recorded.
There's been lots of drinks since then. Who knows?
So those are the sorts of movies, I think, that inspired the show, because we try not to do like a romantic comedy.
Or any comedies, really.
Because comedies are so hard to talk about, because it's like, did you think it's funny?
This one was, this part was funny.
And then it just comes like a one-liner, like whatever one-liner you can remember.
Did you think that was good? No? Well, I thought it was good.
Right, yeah. All right. And so like stuff like this where you have so much shit to break down is a lot more fun to talk about, for sure.
Cruz, I did write down that how freaky would Harvey actually be if you just saw the 6 foot...
He'd be the equivalent of Donnie Darko, and I would run away and
be
creeped out.
Yeah, he'd be like Frank
the
Rabbit. Oh, yeah. Walking around and be like,
That was actually one of the reasons I'm glad he wasn't in the movie, because, like, he's kind of fun and whimsical, and then if they would have shown him, I'd be like, that's horrifying. Like, there's a picture of me with a 6 foot Easter Bunny, and this face is, like, not happy.
Yeah, because in Donnie Darko, he is horrific looking.
Yes.
And that's a show that we did. That was like the second or third Potshot episode that we ever did way back in.
He went right for the jugular.
Yeah.
We did.
That was the one where, at the beginning, it was we found movies that weren't perfect, and there was something like, it was a really good premise, and then something didn't quite work, and then we would talk about why they didn't quite work in it. And I have a bunch of different guests for that to not stress Rachel and her time too much. And her, hey, did you watch this? Oh
my god, Mom, Jesus. So anyway, about the movie, the sister and the daughter need to calm down immediately.
Right.
Like, I said the sister needs to mind her business. Like, go back to where you lived with your daughter before your mom died. Like, I feel like you were just fine over where you were.
She moves in after the mom dies, and they're so upset that the Jimmy Stewart gets left the house and all of the money.
Right, and I understand that part, but, like, she immediately is like, let's send him to the mental institution. I don't want to deal with this shit anymore. And I'm like, okay. First of all, I don't know if there's, like...
Back then, it might have been a little earlier than that, but, like, if you said so-and-so is crazy, they would just come pick you up. Like, you didn't have
Thank
to have
God
a
that
reason.
Doesn't happen now.
Now all you do, you just have to say, my dad hit me.
Oh.
And they pick up your dad, you know.
Yeah, but, and so, like, I've talked about that in some psychology classes. Like, I'm just pissed at my husband, but really, just, he's crazy. Can you come pick him up? Like, and then they would just come and, like, boom, gone.
Wow. That's an insider psychologist stuff.
Maybe that wasn't, like, in this time. That was probably earlier.
Well, yeah, because she shows up and she says, she has this whole story, and...
Like, she's dropping him off. She's like, yeah, bye, she's bye, Felicia.
She's saying, well, you know, Harvey, and he's a 6-foot-tall rabbit.
And sometimes I've seen him, and the guy's
I've seen him, and they're like, oh, so you're the,
you're the crazy one.
Like, you're the crazy one. And so that's where the comedy comes in. Is that she's the one who gets locked up.
Oh, no.
And they start, like...
Oh, yes, it's fine. She's a horrible person.
Yeah, she is horrible. And they start trying to give her, like, a forced bath, basically.
I feel like that's, like, super secret code for, like, creepy 50s institution stuff.
Yes.
What, 50s creepy institution?
Yeah.
I think that's timeless creepy institution.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
The other thing is, you know, she's OCD. I mean, she's a, you know, organizing freak.
Yes.
Or as my friend Otto says, it's CDO, because you had to put it in alphabetical order.
Yep.
So, you know... That was the justification for the audience members who were going, actually, I side with Jimmy Stewart. His sister's a nut job. She should go away.
She's crazy. Well, and the best part about it is, like, she drops him off, and he is so sweet about it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If I was at the mental institution, like, if Brat, my husband, takes me to the mental institution, inevitably, and they come get me out of the car, I would be kicking and screaming. But they're like, sir, can you come with us? He's like, okay.
Oh.
All right. And then they, like, tell him there was a mistake, and he's like... But I'm supposed to be taking this bath for this lady. Can I come down after? And they're like, no, you can leave. And he's like, hold on, let me check and see if it's okay with her. And like, he's just so like,
very pleasant, yeah.
Like accommodating to everyone. And it's just hilarious because it works out so well. And the reason he's accommodating actually stops him from being like, in the end, spoilers, getting like a shot to the head or whatever they were gonna do for
right,
him. But
right, and he tries to let them know that he's crazy because he keeps saying, "Well, let me give you my card and let me introduce
you to my friend." And they keep interrupting him.
They interrupt him.
They're
every
like, "Sorry,
time,
sir,"
and they don't let him.
What's on the card?
Oh, you know what that reminds me of? The Man Who Fell to Earth. When David Bowie's undergoing surgery, and he says, "No, you can't X-ray because it'll cause me to be blind."
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna X-ray his head. And he says, X-rays caused me to be blind. And they said, no, don't worry about that. But he was from another planet. And in fact, it blinded him. And well, okay, party pooper, sorry. But if you haven't seen it, it's still got a lot of good stuff in it. Especially the 3D camera.
There you go.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So that whole insane asylum section is a lot of fun. Just because it's...
I probably want to see it just for that.
Okay.
Well, because there are three settings. The house, the bar, and the insane asylum, mm-hmm. which, I mean, that's
so
all you need.
Like I've said to Eric, every time you pick a movie, it could be a play. Like, every time
that
you
one
pick
definitely
a movie,
could be.
I picked this one.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, what?
That's what I'm saying. Every time you pick a movie.
Elbows in the house.
Right?
It's like, it could be seen as a play. Cause
yeah,
really,
oh,
like,
totally. That
different.
Could totally good, for sure.
Yeah, so we have, so she gets institutionalized, and he's free, and he's kind of looking
he
for Harvey.
He just wanders around,
yeah,
does
like,
what he
oh,
wants,
hey, and all that stuff. And
tell him to meet me at Charlie's. I'll be there with a drink for him.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
And we get this, like, short little subplot of this nurse and the doctor, and the nurse is super hot for the doctor.
Right.
And I was just like, why, like, what is going on?
It was a little soap opera for a second.
Really
she's
was.
Like... You don't even pay attention to me. I'm like, lady, let's be cool. Like, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, it was almost like it was her last day of vacation. She's like, look, I just put all my cards on the table here.
But because of what's his name? Elwood. He's super nice to the nurse, and then, the doctor gets a little bit jealous, like just the right amount of jealous. But Like, I thought for a little bit, I'm like, this is going to be super cheesy because the nurse is going to fall for him and it's going to be weird. But it was so well done. Like, he was just the right amount of nice to the nurse that the doctor noticed. Mm-hmm. And then
the doctor tried stepping up
And then he made it a point for those two to go dance. And at the end, they were together. And, like, he just, like, in his, like, own little way, like, helps everybody. Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel like that was, like, a definite thread in the whole movie was just, like, I wrote that he was the ultimate situation diffuser because he just, like, shows up. And, like, gives his calming presence and just kind of, like, makes everything a little bit better, which is awesome. I don't know.
Yeah, because the other subplot that we have is one of the orderlies, I guess they would be called. One of the guys that work there. He is trying to go after Jimmy Stewart's niece.
Yeah,
and
Myrtle.
He's like, oh, why don't you make me some breakfast? How about some egg and onion?
Egg and onion like, oh, sandwich.
Puke. Oh, total date food.
And I was like,
you're get over
like,
here.
Oh, you sure do make great egg and onion? And I'm like, oh my God, that's disgusting.
Yeah, but during that scene, I wrote, desperation is an ugly scent, Myrtle, because she is like chasing after him. Like, where are you going? Come back. I'm like, do you know how to play it cool? Let's play it cool for a little bit. But
and he's not, and he's...
Don't hook up with the onion guy.
Right?
And he's kind of portrayed as the worst of the entire cast because he's really, like, wanting to fight Jimmy Stewart or he's wanting to,
like,
lock
find
him
the
up.
Doctor.
And he's real aggressive. Like,
I mean,
if there were,
like, a bad guy, I guess he would be,
I
like,
guess,
typing.
Yeah.
If we're doing George
or
Lucas.
Sister, yeah.
Bad script.
Yeah.
Bad guy. Hello. Please make it end. They're almost to 9, right? Can they give it up?
Yeah.
Well, they're doing the next 3 and then spinoffs. And
because Disney has it now.
Yeah.
Action figures.
Yeah, it's the whole thing.
We need a targeted asteroid on Hollywood.
Oh my God, that'd be awesome.
So, Cruz, I did put...
Hey, how about a movie where they try to blow up an asteroid that's coming towards Earth, but they only slightly deflect it, and a large fragment of it lands on Hollywood and blows up the Hollywood movie industry?
So it's like a sequel to Armageddon, kind of.
Like Armageddon.
Kind of like Snoa that we talked about.
Snow Noah.
Have you seen Snowpiercer? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
talk about a contrived plot. I hated that film. Honestly. I mean, come on. You know, it had no believability in the whole thing.
Sure. What do you think of Tilda?
Yeah, I mean, it was great for, what's her name? She was in Fargo and all those other films. Come on, the actor's name.
The actress that has all the makeup is Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
I use the word actor anymore. I'm
sure.
Sorry.
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm a fan of Tilda Swinton.
Right.
She is not.
She was great. And I mean, the best scene in the film was that weird hand motion she did. And then when you saw the kid in the grease pit, and then you knew.
He just had to keep doing it.
Kind of haunting.
She's creepy.
No. I mean, and the fact that was a bad movie and it played at the Ross was horrible. And in fact, I say that. I mean, come on. Every film that plays at the Ross doesn't have to be a social commentary on perverse behavior or on violence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's like bring on a good art film.
Well, that's true because we went and saw the overnight.
The overnight is very sexual.
Yeah, it's
I was working that night, unfortunately.
And it was really good.
It's funny.
Yeah,
it's
very
like awkward,
uncomfortable,
funny. And it's good.
Oh, man.
There's a lot of... Rachel would have a hard time with it just because she'd feel uncomfortable.
At the end,
swinging makes everybody uncomfortable.
That's what the movie's about.
The playground. What are you talking about? It's my second favorite next to the seesaw.
The first scene is at a playground, so that's weird.
Yeah, it is.
That is weird. I've never seen
swinging is only good for the people who make out well on it. And
right. There are winners
it
and sucks. Losers.
Yeah, there are definitely winners and losers.
Make sure to settle, right? Okay, so getting back to the movie, I think it was funny where Jimmy Stewart's talking about having a drink with somebody, and I think it was Harvey, but I don't remember.
No, it was that guy from The Night Before Christmas or whatever it was called. Yeah. No, go
ahead. They asked what he had done like the night before, a few weeks before, and he goes, well, we joined him for a drink.
Yeah.
And he says, we joined him. He's talking about how he's drinking over and over. Without specifically saying that he was drinking, because one of the things that they did cut, because it was the 1950s, was that you only see him drinking once.
Really?
You see him ordering a lot of drinks, but they couldn't show him getting drunk on screen because of the restrictions. So that was something that I thought was kind of funny.
Unlike Night of the Iguana.
Or Sideways.
You know.
Yeah.
In that same period where, well, if not on screen, but off screen, I mean, you know, just immense quantities of alcohol.
But like, when was,
so then they
that
would act
one, the Lost Weekend?
They just acted the way they were, yeah.
I don't remember when.
Because like, The Last Weekend came out in like 1945, and that guy was like chugging bottles of whiskey.
He really was. I don't know.
But hey, now we have ad men, so it's
after,
okay.
After World War II, maybe. Because it
is
the 50s.
Yeah, you're right.
What's the one that we saw?
Do you know why we have light beer?
Why is that?
Sorry.
The color, right?
It's all beer. No. Because, among other things, we sent canned beer to the GIs during World War II.
Well, that was nice.
And And the Germans were sending Bock beer to their guys. We were sending low alcohol beer because we wanted our guys to be a good shot.
Oh.
Smart.
Yeah, and they came
back.
It worked
out well.
Well, it worked out well for them and for the country, but when they came back here, they had a taste for tasteless beer.
Yeah. Okay.
And that was the beginning of the light beer revolution in North America.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's so cool to know.
Yeah.
That is. That's definitely trivia.
That's now ending, thank God. You know? We're getting back to beer with flavor.
Yeah, that's like, there's like that Bud Light commercial that's like, keep your microbrews and your pumpkin ales. I'm like, I will keep those pumpkin ales.
Great. I cannot wait.
Yes.
The ridiculous part of that is that Budweiser is selling beers like that. Pumpkin Chock Top.
Right.
You know,
they're
just marketing
totally agreed.
Well, you know, I'm really interested in what the verdict on our beer is.
Mine's almost gone.
Well,
oh yeah, I really like this one.
I think you guys should get into the movie talk. I'll go get us a refresher.
Awesome. We'll finish this up. And
I want to try your, I'm into stouts.
Yes. Okay. So we'll have a St. Monica's and we'll have a couple of Saisons, eh?
That sounds good.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Cruiser, what do you think about the Harvey origin in the alley?
How he just like walked up to him and was like, "What's up, Elwood?"
Well, no, before that, when they go in the alley and after they're at the bar and the doctor and the nurse come out. Is that the same scene?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
When they're like, "How did you meet Harvey?" And he's like, "I was walking down the street
and he's just leaning up against the lamppost."
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Hey, Elwood. I mean, it's like, by the time we got to that point, like everything out of his mouth was gold for me, mm-hmm. so I didn't really care. Cause like, he was just saying adorable things this way and that. Like, when he kept saying the night wore on, and he's like, I'd like to say that again. The night wore on. You're really good at that, I have to say. I'm just saying, that's great.
I don't know how you go from cursive to... It's the
progression of
alcoholism. What are you, the cops?
Yeah. No, I really like that too, but it's just funny to look at someone else's handwriting.
I know. Usually when I do quotes, I do them in cursive. He said, "There's a little bit of envy in the best of us, and that's sad." And I was like, "Oh, Jesus, what are you doing right now?
Don't this one.
What are you doing making me feel the feels?"
They were talking about Jimmy, and they said, the sister was like, "He was never out and about. He was a great homeboy." And I'm like, "I knew it." That's what that was.
Nice.
They said homeboy?
They meant like homebody, but she called him homeboy, and I was like...
Like, if you only knew. If you only knew, that would be so popular.
Jimmy has got his, like, flat-billed hat to the side.
Right. One of my favorites is when the girl asked what a puka was, and she looked it up in the dictionary. I was like, oh, my God.
Poo.
Oh, I'm late.
You.
But just get on your phone.
And Google like, no. P-O-O-K-A.
So, yes, I liked that part and, like, that whole thing. And that's where he says, be oh so smart or oh so pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, by that time, I was like, win, whatever you say, Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, I think that this Ali Harvey origin is absolutely terrific.
Yes.
I was just so completely charmed by the movie.
Yes.
And even the parts where when the orderly's there, I'm like, oh, I don't like this sort of, like, tough ruffian.
And like
the street
it was like it gets a little slapstick when he's like involved, which I'm like, okay, we don't need to do all of that, but yeah.
I'm guessing that's just more of a sign of the times kind of a thing.
Of course, yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I was really pleased with the selection.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really good one. You got anything else on there that we haven't mentioned yet, Chris?
My favorite like line that he says all over is, "What can I do for you?" And he says, "What did you have in mind?"
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, that's great. That is great. I'm going to use that.
That is funny. That's good. All right. Well, let's go ahead and have Rachel read this.
All right, guys. Why don't you... Oh, are we doing Audible?
Okay. Audible.
All right. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and choose from over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy, almost as easy as Eric's mom. Go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and get started today.
Wait, she regular here?
All right.
Alright. So Audible, yes, thank you for your sponsorship.
Thanks, Audible,
no matter
sorry.
How long Rachel reads it.
Yeah,
so our second film is about 30 years in the future from where we just were. It's with Mr. Paul Newman. It is 1982's The Verdict.
His name is Frank Galvin. 4 cases in the last 3 years. He's lost them all. He drinks. This man's scared to death to go to court.
Frankie, listen to me because I'm done with you. I got you a good case. It's a moneymaker.
The Archdiocese called up because the case is coming to trial.
This is our chance to get away.
I'm going to see that you get that chance. Court exists to give him a chance at justice.
And is that what you're going to do?
Maybe I can do something right.
It's a generous offer, Mr. Galvin.
I just heard someone offer you $200,000.
When I walk out that door, the offer is withdrawn.
What are you, nuts?
I can win it. I can win this case.
But what are you going to do?
I need your help.
To do what?
They killed her. I'm trying to buy it.
I said to you, know what you did?
No, did
you?
Jeez, take it easy. Okay. Now.
And I got to find out from the other side that they offered $200,000.
I can subpoena you, you know.
Well, maybe you just better do that then.
I had a witness disappear on me, Your Honor. You should have taken their offer. I have no sympathy for you.
We're going to lose.
Listen, the damn case doesn't start before tomorrow, and already it's over for you.
It is over.
I can't invest in failure, Frank, anymore.
Pushing me to court 5 days early, I lose my star witness, and I can't get a continuance, and I don't care. I'm going up there, I'm going to try it, I'm going to let the jury decide.
All rise!
Hear ye, all persons having anything to do before the Honorable, the Justices of the Superior Court, now sitting at Boston, within and for the County of Suffolk, draw near, give your attendance, and you shall be heard.
Frank Galvin is a down-on-his-luck lawyer reduced to drinking and ambulance chasing. Former associate Mickey Morrissey reminds him of his obligations in a medical malpractice suit that he himself served to Galvin on a silver platter. All parties willing to settle out of court. Blundering his way through the preliminaries, he suddenly realizes that perhaps, after all, the case should go to court to punish the guilty, to get a decent settlement for his clients, and to restore his standing as a lawyer. Gosh, that was a lot of work.
All the words.
Integrity.
Right?
That's right.
Or long on principle.
What's funny is that if you go to IMDb and you look at the first plot summary, it's probably like a full 2-3 paragraphs.
It's a it's just like basically summary. Telling you exactly
it's
what
like,
happens.
It's like, okay, act one, scene one. Here's
the end.
Okay, so this is my pick. This was one of the movies that I had watched back in the Movie A Day challenge.
Right.
And it was the first time that I had
this
watched
is
it.
Probably what I thought the revenge movie with Brad Pitt was.
Oh, no. With Sleepers?
No. Yeah. Because I thought that Paul Newman was on the front, it was actually Brad Pitt, and I got confused.
Should we do a second
drink? Yeah.
I actually often thought that, you know, Brad Pitt looked like a young Paul Newman.
See?
Yeah.
You can see.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do we have here?
You have St. Monica's Stout. It's an Irish stout, or also called a dry stout. It looks like a big, giant thing, but it's actually super light in the mouth.
It's very pretty.
It's served on nitrogen, so, you know, serving beer on a nitrogen tap reduces the amount of CO2 that's in the beer. CO2 is carbonic acid, so instead of being sharp in your mouth, it's very smooth and round. We call it silky.
Yeah, it's creamy.
Yep.
It's like drinking whipped cream.
It's like whipped cream with coffee and some dark chocolate.
That's yummy.
It's not very. It doesn't taste very burnt. You know.
I love that. That's really good.
What we're going for here was really a hybrid between the two best, in our opinion, Irish stouts. Guinness has a little bit of a tangy finish, which we've accomplished by doing a 4% sour mash on this beer. And then we changed the malt character a little bit, so it was more like a Beamish, which is chocolate and coffee-ish. So we have the crispness of a Guinness, but not so much burnt.
Mm-hmm.
More on the iced coffee. That's called St. Monica's Stout. It turns out St. Monica's was, I was in Dublin researching stout beers at the source to see, you know, what I
because
thought.
Because why would I? That's amazing.
Well, yeah. You have to do the homework.
Right?
Yeah.
You know? Doing research. Tura-lura-lura.
Sláinte, they say. Oh. Sláinte. Toast. So, to your health. So I was there, and I went into a chapel on my way back from the Guinness Brewery and at St. James Gate, and I saw a statue of this beautiful Madonna, and it said St. Monica. And I said, that's it. I'm going to make St. Monica Stout. Later I found out she was really about 4 foot tall, old, bent over, and not very attractive.
Great.
Sort of look like, you know, Mother Teresa. And she's the patron saint of alcoholics.
Oh! That's amazing!
It is amazing. It's a little embarrassing. There's also a program here in Lincoln called St. Monica's.
Oh, my gosh. That does has,
but
that
does the name came far before all of that. So there's a coincidence three ways.
You know what? Drunks love you more for it. That's right.
Well, and it's only 4.7% alcohol, so currently of the beers we have on tap, it's the lowest alcohol.
Yes. There you go. And what do we got here?
That is the Saison that we call Au Pair, which is named after a French foreign student that screws the dad.
Right.
And then...
Wait, that doesn't happen when you drink it, right?
It's not like a contagious thing, right?
I don't know. It might.
It could happen.
Hey, look, it's only audio. Anything can
right?
happen.
Right? What are we doing here?
And then I gave Eric the dandelion saison called Bouton d'Or, which that's is both of these saisons are made with special yeast that we do. That's two different farmhouse ale yeasts, one from France and one from Belgium. So we're using two yeasts at once. Two yeast plus a beer makes a sort of a menage a trois kind of thing in the beer.
Oh,
and the dandelion saison has 68 pounds of fresh organic dandelion blossoms in it, which gives it an amazing rustic, farmy field note to it, terroir. And those dandelions came from Branched Oak Farms in Raymond, Nebraska.
Yeah, they do taste slightly different. Like,
you know what would be nice is, like, drink this one, then it would, help with your allergies, like, if you eat the honey that's local.
There's a lot of dandelion pollen in that beer, and there are other...
There you go.
There are other phytochemicals that are supposed to be quite good for you. But I will warn you that the French slang term for dandelion is pissenlit, which
that
means wet the bed.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, but... The formal name is Don de Leon, which means the lion's tooth.
Same. I like that better than peeing the bed.
It depends on the day.
Or the night.
Right.
Whatever.
Don't do like my college roommate and just open your bureau drawer and pee in there when you were half comatose.
So where are you from?
I'm from
a lot of cultures.
I'm from Vermont originally.
Okay.
And New England, raised in New England. And I was out in the Desert West for quite a long time. And then... I guess I say I made my way halfway back to Vermont before I found Lincoln.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
And Lincolnites go, really? I go, have you traveled? No. Well, you should, because this is a really great place to be.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I used to live in Colorado, and I just went back for my 10-year reunion, and they're like, well, what's in Nebraska? And I was like...
Good people and great beer.
A great place to raise a family and, like... little crime, and everybody's so happy. Like, I was in Denver earlier this morning, walking into the Starbucks, and they were just all dicks.
That's because they were drinking Charbucks.
It's fine. I'm not trying to say I don't like Colorado, but it's just different. Like, they don't open the door with a smile. And like,
you know, after
you?
They legalized pot it's over different. There, I was there judging the Great American Beer Festival, and
God,
I was writing...
I love you.
I'm doing my 10th year in a row this fall.
Do you need an assistant? Or
it's a very it's actually
we can help you carry glasses. I don't know.
Hopefully someday we'll win gold medals and you can go up on the podium with us. You'll have to wear dirndls or farmer clothes.
I'll wear whatever the
whatever
you want.
Okay. Just send us the costume or the outfit. I don't care.
I'm thinking like farmer's overalls, no t-shirt. That kind of thing.
I'm in. Just, I do that anyway.
Yeah. Like maybe some corn pasties. It'll be fine.
We're corn askers. It only makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why.
Right. No, it doesn't. But
a couple of stoner kids tried to push me over on my bicycle. You know, I'm like, wow, you're angry stoners. That's so weird.
Yeah, how is that?
You know? The exact opposite of what
shouldn't you be?
Right,
on
I think
couch,
you know you smoke too much
like,
or something
a
or whatever.
Or something?
But
enjoying
yeah.
a burrito.
No, like I love going out there because it's great. Like it's beautiful. It's just like breathtaking. But yeah, I love Nebraska.
Yeah, my
it's
favorite
really
thing
great.
Is when
like, people don't understand until they
yeah,
live here.
When people, especially like during football season, like out of town teams will come and play here, and they won't have, because, like, we, like, as a city are, like,
come here and drink with us. We love you. And
let's party.
We won't be mad at you for killing us and making us look awful. We're just mad at the football team. Yeah. And, like, we just want to have a good time, and we're super welcoming as a community, and I love it.
Yeah, especially when we joined the Big Ten and we would have new schools in, it was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Like,
oh, yeah.
Teams would come in.
We went up to Michigan Staters at the bar, and I'm like, you guys killed us. And he's like, you're not going to yell at me? I'm like, do you want to do some shots? I don't know. Like,
yeah.
We like fire.
We're like, oh, Penn, you guys had the perv. Yeah.
We want to chat about it?
Let's
drink to that.
Like, we had some friends from Minnesota, and they came in, and they're like, we know we're going to get our ass kicked. And this is the first year that Nebraska played them. But everyone's been like, super nice about it. Like, I feel like, oh, what's going on? We're like,
right. We just live out, except
it's
Iowa.
It's not like slashing tires and
fuck Iowa.
Don't like them. Don't like Wisconsin either.
Right.
Well,
they're not very nice.
Well, I like Wisconsin because their team color is red, and our team color is red, right. And we have tailgate red.
Yes.
So it's like a good day.
Well, what's funny is like I was talking to some people, and they're like, oh, you're in Nebraska. I was like, yeah, go Cornhuskers. And they're like, And I was like, we're not in your conference anymore, so you can't hate me.
Right.
And we usually
call that as a joke anyway.
But I was like,
right,
and,
really?
And then I followed
you guys
by,
are the new Baylor.
And we usually kicked your ass anyway. So it was just
the Stoners,
like,
is
right,
that the name
right?
of the team?
It was a sore feeling all
the
around.
The Colorado Smoky Potters. I don't know.
Just have a guy like this with a little smoke on his right.
The Dubes.
The Dubes. The Dubes abides.
It'd be the dude that hit the front.
Right.
So they could just have the buffalo out. Smoking.
Oh, there you
the
go.
Carpet pissers did this?
We should make a t-shirt that just has the buffalo with
beyond
the joint.
Things. If we played Colorado,
or
a bomb.
We don't play Colorado.
Come on, I know you guys want to talk about this film.
Yeah, okay. I do.
But I think, it's about standing up for what you believe in, even though you didn't know what you believed in the beginning.
It is. This is a movie that, like I said, I had seen before and I loved, and so I put on the list of things that I wanted to talk about eventually. And it's a movie that is on Netflix, instead of people have Netflix. It's a movie that Anelle is going to watch sooner rather than later because she has not seen it.
You didn't do your homework?
She
I
was
out
of
town.
Well, that's okay. I didn't know there was homework for this
interview. I raced home just to get for this experience.
Perfect.
So. That's why she came home, just to make sure she was
hopefully it's worthwhile.
Oh.
Yes. Oh, definitely. The beer is amazing. Thank you. I'm going to come back for food.
Oh, yeah, we make our own pretzels here. It's a recipe we worked on for 18 months.
Oh, my gosh.
It has malt powder in it. It has one of our beers in it.
Mm-hmm.
They're made daily. And you can get them. We're working on a new pretzel. I'll tell you about that in a second. But we have a traditional pretzel, which is the dark brown skin,
mm-hmm.
creamy, chewy inside, and then flake salt on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
Then we have a cheddar pretzel with two kinds of cheddar cheese on melted on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're working on a new one called Bonfire, which has a red chili paste that we paint on it. And, you know, don't whine. This is a no-whiner pretzel. Like, if you do the Bonfire, suck it up.
Okay.
Because I used to live in Arizona, and
nice.
Like I was into the heat there.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I came from a pasty white New England background, but when I went out west, I learned about chilies. I got it. I got onto the heat.
Cool.
And it's okay if mucus runs out your nose when you eat one of these, because that's...
That's
you know,
the point.
That's the
that's
point.
Why
you're winning.
Well, no, actually, the point is chase it with cold beer. Exactly right.
That's right.
So that's coming soon, yeah.
Well, there you go. All right, Cruz, tell me about you and The Verdict. This is a first watch, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I had no idea this was
okay, what about you and Paul Newman? Or David Mamet? Or
who's David Mamet?
The playwright, the guy who
David
wrote the
Mamet,
script.
Who wrote Glengarry Glen Ross.
I thought it was John Grisham.
No. And he wrote... John Grisham wrote The Firm.
Oh, my bad.
So David Mamet is a famous
playwright. Oh, the
Glengarry Glen Ross.
That's a tongue twister. You're fine.
Yes. So he's written a lot of movies that have done very well. That have done very well. Sidney Lumet, very famous director, and Paul Newman. All of them together. How
Let's
can
give.
Go
I just want to give you a quick background. This is usually what happens: is Eric researches a movie and he knows all the people in it. I usually know most of the actors, and he knows who wrote it, and he knows a lot of backstory. And my job
and
is to just watch it without doing any research, just like
basic feeling.
Well, sometimes it's good to know, you know? I mean, like, Wes Anderson is anal retentive and organizes every scene like it's a photograph.
Yes.
And it goes on and on and on and on and on. And if you hang out with him, you just want to kill him.
Probably.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, David Mamet is, you know, this New York playwright that writes these very concentrated things where people are put face to face. It's very intense. It's all about dialogue.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do a David Mamet thing in a closet and the whole thing would be there, you know.
Legit. We should call him. Is he still alive? We should tell him to write
alive.
Closet screenplay.
And he's done a few films.
Hey, are you a closet screenwriter?
He's also directed a few films too, and he's run the gamut from movies that are very, very condensed to films that are a little bit more expansive, but he's done a lot. He's very good. Very, very good.
But I know who Paul Newman is.
Okay.
And I enjoy him.
Good Lord. He's a silver fox.
Even then, I'd be like, you're kind of drunk, but like, whatever.
I'll definitely see it.
Well, one of my favorite scenes was where
like the salad dressing.
Yeah. Good times.
Well, he should have got like a whiskey or a beer made after this.
Right? Paul Newman.
Because he's drinking enough.
Yeah. Well,
so
like,
you would have thought he would have had Newman's Own and like a
Newman's Own.
Newman's Own booze.
But my first line is Pinball, he's not even trying.
He's not even
half-assing Pinball. He is not, he's like, he has his beer in his hand. You know you need two hands to play Pinball. And he's just like.
No, if he could have a beer in one hand and then still succeed, he'd be a pinball.
Oh, right? Right? And this wasn't Tommy. This was a totally different movie.
That's a shot from.
Oh, here you go, Anil. I would still bang him. It's not until he got real old that I was like, no.
Yeah.
So, like nobody's fool.
Right. Where I'm like,
But what about Viagra?
I mean, there's like a level that I'm not.
Why is Hugh Hefner still getting laid?
I don't know.
Because of his rich wealth?
Yes.
That's gotta be.
Yes.
The cave. Yeah. It's the cave with the waterfall.
I think it's the robe, too.
Yes.
For sure.
Oh, it's gotta be
the robe.
Oh, yeah.
I'm buying one of those tonight.
He definitely aged better than Hugh Hefner did. That's
But there is a point where I was like, pass.
So one of the things that I thought was interesting is I love how when he's doing the ambulance chasing and he's
circling
all of the recently dead.
He goes to the funerals and he hands out business cards.
That's what he was saying. Okay. And I was like,
where he's like, oh, hey, you know, I knew your dad.
He's not Jimmy Stewart. He's someone else.
That's true. You can't get out of that.
Oh, hey.
Hi.
Hey, Henry.
So Harvey.
Oh, sorry. Didn't see it.
Wow. So, just the name of the movie, don't worry about it.
Whatever you do, don't blame the beer.
Nope.
So when he does do that, I love how he's doing a breakfast shot and donuts before he goes and like sets out to go.
Right.
Took
a breakfast shot and ate a donut.
And like a donut. And he's doing the cute little thing back when they had newspapers where he's circling like funerals and stuff.
He does do the Anil sip, which she knows what I'm talking about. She fills everything to the very, very brim of the cup, and she's like that, and then can drink it afterwards because it's too drink to like, or it's too full to like walk around with.
You like?
She's
full
not
martini.
Wasteful.
That's right.
Don't complain about your full martini.
I'm not complaining. I just said sips like Anil.
That's
okay.
That's telling, but
right.
Good to know.
There are a lot of layers to that we're not going to know. So obviously he's like kind of a pile of crap, and we don't know why right away.
Yeah,
so they make his character like semi unlikable to begin because you're like, why can you not get your shit together?
Especially
a lawyer.
With the second funeral that he goes to, or the showing. Or the
yeah, he goes to the second funeral, and the son of the person who died calls him out.
And he's like,
you don't know my dad. Why are you
here? Are you
here? And he gets kicked out of a funeral for handing out business cards.
And the funeral director is like, you can't come back here anymore. So he's basically screwed.
He's been barred from his bar.
Yeah,
his
main source of income.
He's been double barred. It's awkward.
Yeah.
And, you know, we find out that he is not a successful lawyer, that he's lost most of his cases that have gone to trial, and that he had been almost disbarred, but they had settled, and it was a kind of a technicality that he didn't get disbarred. So he's kind of having a rough time.
But, like, basically he got disbarred because he was being moral.
It was jury tampering. Right?
And they tampered, the partners that he worked for tampered
the jury for him without him knowing, apparently. Sure. Yeah. And then he found
That's
out about it.
That's the only way
it.
To do it.
Right?
Right.
And then he found out about it, and he went to the partners and was like, I'm going to tell on you. And they're like, cool, we're going to jump the gun and put you in jail. And said that he did it, and so he went to jail because he, you know. So, like, basically he gets out of jail super defeated, which I totally understand. Like, if that happened to me, I'd be like, fuck.
That does have some of that John Grisham stuff to it.
Right? Like, a little bit.
Where Tom Cruise, they brought him to the beach, and the floozy met him on the beach.
See?
And then, right?
Fucking John Grisham. Hey, stop.
So, I do like how he goes and meets... He's taking on this new case.
That he doesn't remember he has because he's been drinking egg beers all day. Yeah. Have you ever put an egg in a beer?
Yes.
A raw egg?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
How does it taste?
It's better if you stir it up, but you can throw it down.
He did.
Like
he just.
What's the point of
it? He poured a beer and there were just eggs sitting on the edge of the counter.
It's a complete meal.
Okay. That's not a lot of protein in it, I guess. The combination.
Well, sure.
I mean, I saw that and I was like, I've had orange beers. I've had red beers. I've had an egg beer.
Yeah, well, I mean, for those of us who don't do tainted love, then that's probably the way to go.
Oh, is that what that's called?
Oh!
That's hurtful.
So he takes off the... takes on this, this
visual case, you missed, sorry folks.
Right.
Where this woman who is giving birth gets the wrong type of anesthetic.
Yes.
Right? And so she vomits and chokes on her own vomit.
In her oxygen mask.
Yeah, in her mask.
And is so basically a vegetable.
On her mask, and that's
right? My face when I heard it.
Oh my God, that is so sad.
And so that's how she's basically dead. She's
and they're up against this. She went to a Catholic hospital. That's part of the story, I'm just saying.
It's true.
And so they're, like, up against the archdiocese.
Because she would have had an abortion if it wasn't for that, right? But she...
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how that goes. But, so, like, they're fighting this, like, big... It's basically, like,
it's
the
like
little
cardinal,
man against the giant company.
David and Goliath.
Because what they're doing is they have, like...
Did you hear that?
I did.
I said it too.
David and Goliath, I also said it. So
we all said
but
it.
But they have this round table discussion where they're, like... Where, like, this guy's going on trial, and they're, like, feeding him his lines, basically. Because they're like, we're going to win this. We throw a bunch of money at it. We let it go away. We don't even worry about it. We have this top-notch lawyer. And the guy we're going against is a pile of shit. Because they did provide him with a way out. They were going to settle. And he was like, he went to visit her.
He was totally fine with settling because he was asking for, what, like, $600,000 originally?
Yeah, and so he would have gotten like $70,000, which in...
No. It was $600,000 was what he thought he could get, and then it was going to be $200,000 to him, and he kept circling it. And then they offered him $210,000, and he's like, "Oh, that's so convenient that it works out to where I get a third because that was his fee."
Yeah,
so
and he was talking it out.
$70,000.
Yeah, and then he.
So he was basically going to do nothing and earn $70,000 in 1982,
which I would have been like,
which is. Substantial
which is like
money.
50 million now.
Right,
yeah. Right. Let's say at least a million.
But then he goes to visit her and he's like the Grinch where his like heart like grows three sizes
he's like
and he's like
weird pictures on his Polaroid like this.
And then the Polaroids.
As a vegetable?
Yeah, it's such an awkward way that he has to take a picture.
Well, so like what he does is he takes the Polaroids and then they develop before your eyes, of course, and he like looks at them and he's like, oh God, she looks awful. And then her sister is involved, so the sister is like...
And the hardworking brother-in-law.
Who pushes people, which
got,
he
like,
needs to
who's also
needs to
got the
down.
White hair, and he's like, you know, he's a Boston sort of guy.
See, look,
like
I wrote,
sure
wait, do I have the feels, Polaroids? Like, that he, like, was, like, worried about his feelings,
So the brother-in-law's got, like, the... Like,
hey, buddy, you better do what you
He's got the tough guy thing going.
Yes, he did. He, like, confronted
and he, like, tries
him.
Roughing him up
in the courtroom. Like, get out of here, dude.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have all of that. And Paul Newman does go to meet with this doctor who's going to be his main witness to say, yeah, these other doctors screwed it up, and they're negligent, and you should award her the money. And his name is Gruber. Not Hans Gruber.
Not MacGruber either.
Not MacGruber, so not from the Die Hard or MacGruber. And so I really liked that.
He was super likable.
Like,
he was super friendly.
He's smoking a cigar like, while he's walking through the hall of the
because you could smoke in the 80s just anywhere.
Yeah.
Because they didn't use oxygen.
Right.
You know,
back
then.
Yeah, I was just like, I love him. He's smart. He's just to the point. He doesn't deal with any of this BS. And he's having a great day.
Why does that guy look familiar?
Oh, you can... Yeah, that's no big deal. I mean, you can...
I think I know that guy. By the way.
Strauss randomly.
No, seriously.
Hey,
I think he's a regular.
Hey, have we been out at a party before?
On that note, let me go to the bathroom.
Okay.
All right, and we'll pause.
No, you guys can talk. You talked when Rachel was gone.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah. So you should just be doing this.
Okay, so then we have the introduction of Charlotte Rampling.
Which I, like, she was sort of, not, who's Humphrey Bogart's girlfriend? Lauren Bacall. She was Lauren Bacall-ish to me.
She's got that huskier voice.
And she's sassy.
Yes.
He's like, I'm looking for this. She's like, I'm looking for an apartment. And I was like, ooh, I like what's going on. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and she's like, I don't give a shit.
Right, I don't fucking care. I just got divorced and I want to.
Charlotte Rampling, which a few weeks ago we did the film Zardoz.
I saw that on the Tumblr.
Which is the Sean Connery in a red diaper movie. And she was in that. And she has been in Swimming Pool, which is a much more recent film. And she is a very good sort of character actress. It's like a less famous version of Helen Mirren, kind of. To where she's very good at whatever she's in.
Yeah.
And I really like her because whenever I see her on screen, she always seems to be smart.
Yes, very.
Like, it's not a woman where I'm like, she... Alright, Megan Fox.
Who's our go-to? Wait, who's our go-to?
Oh, Catherine Heigl.
Yeah. Yeah, she's stupid. But I was thinking the girl from Starship Troopers.
Oh, Denise Richards.
Denise Richards!
She's our other stupid female actor. So whenever I see Charlotte Rampling, I'm like, okay, she's very intelligent. Like, she pulls that off very, very
well.
She's
a Natalie Portman.
Yeah, she's got that sort of...
She doesn't have the mole.
No, she doesn't. You're right, she doesn't.
That's true. She's got this British air about her, though, where you're like...
And her eyes are kind of squinty. Like, I'm like, are you going to punch me?
That's true.
Probably.
Yeah.
So I do really like her, and it was a thing where I was fully into she was just trying to help him
rehabilitate
out.
Yeah, I was a little excited about that too, and then super heartbroken.
Yeah, and so, you know, spoilers, but this is a spoiler show, but she...
Spoilers!
She ends up being the person who
T-word.
Is... so she is doing research for the defense and trying to figure out Paul Newman's case.
Undercover shit.
And, you know, whatever he's planning on doing, she goes and reports to the defense, and that way they can counteract whatever it is that he has to say.
And he didn't know any better, because he was drunk, and he was smitten by her good looks.
So nice, because he was just
so... That's pretty good, I haven't even seen this film.
He was just so simple about it, like, he didn't ask anything of her, he wasn't like, are we dating? He just had her come over, yeah. And he was, like, awesome with her, and then, like, he finds us out... And, okay, I don't advocate hitting women, but when he punched her, I was like...
the shit out of her.
I'm just saying.
He's already in the gutter, right? So,
oh, he is.
I mean, what are you going to do now?
By this point, he's already lost his witness. The Dr. Gruber that we talked about...
Got ripped apart.
...mysteriously disappears.
Oh, that's right.
Well, of
and
course.
He's gone because she told them that that's what his witness was going to be, so they send him to a...
Cabo or somewhere, yeah. Where they don't have phones because it's the 80s and he's not tweeting anything right now.
he's not live tweeting his experience.
No.
And so they send him off and so he doesn't have a witness anymore. And I put that, you know, he is absolutely fucked.
Yes!
He's in such trouble at this point. And I really enjoyed how this film was so confident in the story. Like, it was so... aware that it was taking its time and being patient,
right.
And wasn't in a hurry at all, and it really, really delivers whenever any of the characters speak. And it's not like the sort of His Girl Friday, like, you know, banter back and
right.
forth.
Right, it's not, yeah.
It's just very, like, very well, very, very well written, and it was something that I was really taken by. I really enjoyed that.
Because
a lot.
There's no wasted dialogue. It's not
how
are
yeah.
you,
everything
blah,
is
blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Sure.
That's David Mamet.
Yeah,
that's exactly
totally.
What he
absolutely.
Does.
I put that, Newman is effing fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Not at pinball, but at acting, he was great.
Pinball, I don't
not
know. Pretty
sober.
Mediocre. Form, not great. I wasn't even trying to tilt it a little bit.
But, like, I mean, like...
But that's showing you his level of despondency, where he had gotten with his career.
Right, oh yeah, no,
Yeah. Oh, wait, I did see this movie.
But, like, so as soon as... So, like, even when you meet him in the beginning, he's kind of a shitbag because he's not doing anything. But then you kind of like him because like... You're like, oh, damn, that's funny. That's good. That's good. And then you hear the backstory and you're like, oh, damn it. Now I really like you. And so, like, from that point on, you're like, please do good things. All I want... Because, like, everyone's like...
Did I miss it? What's his backstory?
Well, his backstory is he... was involved in jury tampering, but he didn't really do it.
Oh, yeah. That's, it was his partner's.
He had a soiled career, essentially.
Right.
His partner's told on him.
His ex-wife was partners somehow with this firm.
Yeah, she divorced him, like, immediately.
And she divorced him right away.
Oh, that's
so
shady.
Kind of out on his own.
Okay.
And he's got, you know, his old-timey buddy that's
the guy from Problem Child. I was like, where do I know him?
Right.
But so, like, after that, after you get that, like, all you want him to do is succeed. Like, you just want him to get this done. And so he's trying so hard because, like, he gets another doctor to be the witness, but he doesn't do as well, and he's super, like, trying.
Oh,
but
yeah, the black doctor who they make sure and say that he's black, and that's a big deal. And
don't treat him like he's black, though.
Yeah.
That's what they
like
say.
We need to have a black lawyer on our side, is what the defense
is. And then they smile and do the, like, mwah.
Uh-huh.
But,
because that old lawyer, the bad guy lawyer, is slick as shit.
He is! If I was in trouble, I'm just saying I would fucking call that guy. I'd be like, I know you're a bad person, but do what you need to do. Because
right.
I killed somebody
because
with a trident.
He's coaching the doctors. The doctors that were negligent. And he's coaching these doctors that were negligent, saying, nope,
you say
three
this.
Words, you say yes, you say this.
Because short story long, the admitting nurse gave her, like, filled out a form, and she came in, and they're like, she's like, how long ago did you eat? And the girl said an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave her the wrong anesthetic, because it made her throw up, and
yeah,
you're
the
not...
the admitting nurse wrote nine.
Wrote one. She wrote one. 1 hour. And then
no,
they gave her,
wrote,
nope,
no,
she didn't give her, nope, stop talking. She wrote one to the girl who was like, I ate an hour ago. And they gave her the anesthetic, and because she had eaten an hour ago, she threw up.
Yeah,
boom. And they made her change it to a nine.
Because then the anesthetic would have been safe for her to have.
Sure.
So there was no malpractice.
Well, you just
she went in
one,
and
one into a nine.
Well,
she went in and told the guy, and she was like, "Oh, this is another one of my fun points." She went into the doctor, and she was like, "This says 1 hour," and he's like, "I want you to change that to a nine."
Okay.
And she was like, "Fine, but I'm gonna make a copy that says one first." So he finds this girl. He fucking tracks her down. He calls everyone in the phone
Paul
book,
Newman
which
finds
a phone book is a thing that used to be around when people didn't have phones. Okay. But he literally calls for like 12 hours just random people that he thinks
because
her
name's
be
Jane Smith.
Yeah, basically it's like
kind of like Eric Williams.
Something. Yes.
Yeah.
And so he finds her and he goes to her new job and he shows up and he's like bullshitting with her and she figures out who he is and he's like, "Will you help me?" Because like you can see on his face, he's like, "Please fucking God, say yes."
Because
and so
have that copy.
So she has a copy of it.
Of course.
And she testifies and like the defense is like flabbergasted. They don't know what to do. And they go and find a court case where you have to like admit that you have a witness.
It was a rebuttal witness instead of an actual witness. So the testimony had to be specifically to whether the photocopy was relevant or not.
Right.
And so then they had to throw out all of their testimony.
And that's my fun point. When you ask something to be stricken from the evidence, like, the jury heard you. Are you just supposed to be like...
You're just supposed to forget about it.
Then I said, who says forget about seeing this? You just, like, pretend. But in the future, we'll all just be neuralized, like, on Men in Black. So, like, that won't even be a problem. But now it's like, pretend you didn't hear what she just said. That he's a fucking liar. Like,
there's no way I would...
And that's why he wins.
Yeah. you do have the black lawyer who... Or the black doctor who... is in his 70s. He's not really practicing anymore. He's supposed to be like their big witness for Paul Newman's side, and he gets torn apart and doesn't help them at all.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh my god, this is going so.
It's super nerve wracking.
You're
just like,
does it make you nervous?
Lord.
Like watching I Love Lucy.
Yeah, it's going so.
Not
poorly.
That
not
bad.
Quite that bad.
Not horrible like that.
I Love Lucy.
Yeah. They used to make me
used to get
so nervous.
I would have to leave the room sometimes, like when the conveyor belt's going.
No, I'm going to vomit in my ear.
So one of the things that I did write down, Cruz, was I thought that the judge looked like a Mike Myers character.
Yes.
Because he had, like, the ultra...
Black eyebrows, super black, like, white hair.
He looked like a Austin Powers Mike Myers.
Old fat bastard.
And he was a complete jerk.
Wait, was he getting paid? Because I feel like he was getting paid by the defense.
Yeah, because at one point Paul Newman says, if you're going to try my case for me, try not to lose it.
Yeah.
Because
and then he stomped out and he fucking...
Because he went, dropped the mic. He was like, because the judge was asking questions to Paul Newman's witness and, like, badgering him.
Oh, you're not supposed to do that.
I mean, which is exactly what I would do if I were a judge, but that's besides
that. No, I don't think you get to.
You're supposed to be just the referee, like, hey, play nice, kids.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of that going on. So then we did have the big reveal that Charlotte Rampling was the one that was behind everything, and like Rachel said earlier, she gets slapped like nobody's business. She's got a little blood trickling down her mouth, and I was like, holy shit, like this is...
Because he walks up to her, and I'm like,
this would not be in a scene now.
He walks up to her, and they're just looking at each other, and he just goes, whap, and I'm like, this is not something that would be okay anymore.
Mm-hmm. But... I'm just saying.
But that was 1982.
That's right.
The good years.
But the guys, like, are holding...
You could still spank your kids and not, like...
But the guys are holding him back, and she's like, let him go, because she's like, I deserved it.
Because they're like...
I mean, that was a horrible thing to just say, but I'm saying, like, she's like, let him go, like, don't fight him.
Yeah, other people at the bar are like, whoa, are you okay, man? And she's like, no, just let him go.
Because, like, you walk in, and it's like his eye, like, you're seeing it from his vision. You're seeing it from his vision walking up, and I'm like,
Blu-ray.
I want to fucking slap her. So I get it.
Yeah, and he whaps her good. Like, I was surprised. It was like a punch slap.
Like, it was. It was like
a lot of force.
Like a lot of this.
Oh, yeah.
A little palm.
A lot of wrist in there.
So anyway, short story long, we get the witness on the stand that says, don't listen to what they're saying.
The nurse that had left the field and they couldn't...
Was she Irish? She was a little Irish. Yeah, Katie Price. Irish. Yes.
Katie O'Brien is one of those. And she had, you know, left and was a...
working at a daycare, basically.
A babysitter.
Yeah.
And that's what she was doing as a job. So, and
she
got married.
Did she feel bad?
And so no one could find her. And she felt so bad.
Which is why I got married.
So no one could find her. That's why on Skype, if anyone's looking for Rachel, it's Rachel Smith.
Shut up!
It's not Rachel Smith. So,
oh, you ruined it.
How many Rachel Smiths are there?
Oh, there's two.
Bajillions.
Too many to find her.
So... So
Smythe.
Oh, I'll put an E on
that.
So,
yeah.
Oh, Smythe.
Smythe.
Like Patchy Smythe. Anyway, so they get
Smithy. You could be named after our oatmeal stout.
Oh,
yeah,
it is.
All
right.
We have an oatmeal stout called Smithy.
I'll head to the Social Security
Rachel
office
Smithy.
Tomorrow. I actually like that. That sounds legit.
Good. Better than Z-Lag. Oh, God. That's what I'm saying. Z-Lag like flag.
Now I just want to have all of. Like, all of your beers.
I'm not kicking you out yet.
Okay. Sounds amazing. I was like, that wasn't on the list. Right. Say what?
I have things that are not on the list. It's true.
Off the menu shit. Okay, sorry. We'll finish this
off
up.
Off the grid.
So, the best part about this is, not only does he succeed, he, like, drop the mic succeeds,
oh,
basically.
Yeah,
because they
does.
Say that the defendants are guilty, and they said, we have one question to the judge, and they said, can we go... over the amount that they have to pay. Because
yes, can we request more than what,
more
the,
than what
maximum
the maximum
was.
Amount was? And the judge is like, sure, I guess, whatever.
Yeah. I guess I won't be paid.
And the best part is, like, Paul Newman's like...
He's like
solid. He doesn't, like, clap. He's like...
Does he end up going to the bar afterwards?
He doesn't.
Oh, you know he does. That's after the credits.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Like,
okay.
What is it that he's
and then he plays the most expressive game of pinball he's ever played in his life.
Yeah, he's just
like kicking and like doing stuff.
Because he's
breaks the glass.
Like Bushmills. Isn't that what he's
right,
drinking?
Bushmills. Like, that's what he calls them.
Oh, yeah.
But the good part about it is, like, he sees Lauren Bacall. What's her name?
Charlotte Rampage.
And... She looks like Lauren Bacall. And he does like the 8 mile nod at the end. He's like, and she does a nod and that's it. Like, he doesn't go hug her. There's no like, oh, we're happy together.
Oh, yeah.
He's just like, I forgive you, but you're still a bitch. Bye.
Sure. And I just killed it.
And what's funny is the whole reason that she turned on him was that she had fallen in the sort of depths of being a lawyer also, and the defense was going to prop her back up and let her become a partner again.
Right. They were giving her money. Yeah, a lot of money.
If she would go against this guy that she was pretending to like.
Right. But she really did like
him. But see, that's the thing. Like, they don't go into that as much as they would today. Like, they don't have a lot of...
There's not an angsty scene where she's like, oh shit. Yeah.
No, I think that's after the credits. I think she had that moment. And then she came, back.
After he slapped her.
She tried to have sex, but he's an alcoholic and he couldn't get it up. And,
oh my God.
Yeah. Like, that would be today's...
She's like, slap me a little bit more. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Which is an interesting...
Is that how you roll?
It's an interesting... If anyone's seen The Killer Inside Me, which is an episode that we have coming up, there's a lot of that.
Homework alert. Slapping?
There's a lot of, like, Belts and Jessica Alba and Casey Affleck and...
He's not attractive.
What's Goldie Hawn's daughter's name?
I haven't seen that.
Ears Han.
Han Solo.
Yeah. What is it called?
The Killer Inside Me. Mm. And Zach Cruise and I talked about that, and that'll be coming out soon.
Not Cruise.
Okay. It's called the same.
What else do you have about this movie?
That's it. That's all I have.
Me too.
I really loved it. I put that it is on our wish list.
That's your verdict.
Yeah, my verdict is tremendous because it's on there with They Came Together.
Oh, God.
And I think...
That was a porn film.
That was a lot of porn films. I didn't think of that.
But no, I put that
you know, my nickname is so Mr. McGuppin. You know about that? Oh, never mind.
He does say in this movie, what are you, the cops?
What are you, the cops?
He said it. I was like, oh, my God, 1982.
Maybe you have seen this.
No,
you just didn't know it. Maybe your parents
My line, what are you, the cops, is from, which is unfortunate that I know this, but it's from Heartbreakers.
Oh.
And it's Ray Liotta is pretending to be the husband. And they're like, he's like, what are you, a school teacher? And he's like, yeah. And they're like, what do you teach? He goes, school. What are you, a fucking cop? Like, that's what he says. And that's where I got that from.
Yeah, I liked that movie.
All right. Well, do you have anything else in there that we haven't mentioned from the verdict?
No.
Okay, why don't you take us out, then?
Take us out. If you have any comments for the show or movies you'd like to hear us talk about, please feel free to email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show over at Twitter at plainlabelpod, where you can follow us at Eric Suzanne Williams
79.
No Susan. No Susan.
And me at Lady Zlag. We also have a Facebook page where you can like the show. Just search for Plain Label Podcast. And if you want to help us out a bit, you could head over to Amazon.com and search for our wish list and buy us The Verdict so we can talk about The Verdict some more.
Or maybe
that way Anel can watch it in case it maybe expires.
Or maybe get us a gift card to Plowshare. You know,
oh,
I'm sure you can figure out a way to do that.
You can figure out something like that.
It's full of movies we want, gift cards we want, equipment we need, and a whole host of other goodies. If you're in the giving mood, just search for the wish list called Plain Label Podcast. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with more movies about alcohol.
So the baroreceptors are the nerves that tell your brain that the bladder is full.
Oh, is that right?
And
which Rachel is relieving as
Rachel's
speak.
Doing that right
well,
now.
Well, once you know, once she breaks the seal, she'll have to go back again.
And that's a real
and
thing.
She
right?
did.
It is a real
okay,
thing.
Okay, because so she went first, and now she's been back the
now,
most.
And I haven't gone. Have you gone?
Once.
I went
once.
Too.
I just had 2 trips to Colorado where I've like trained my bladder to like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no.
Hold for
a minute. You have a 7-year-old in the car. Just hold on. You got to get there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've met German fellows who refer to themselves as camels.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Because they're at the beer gardens and they just sit there for hours and drink beer. So it turns out that the baroreceptors tell your brain that the bladder's full, but they have a trigger mechanism and it takes so many nerve impulses to build up to where they say, hey, we gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
But then next time, not so many. So there's actually scientific evidence for the idea that
breaking the seal.
You can break the seal. Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
You know what it's like.
But you know, we also say don't blame the beer. So
no.
You have to justify right. the two of those things together.
No, the thing is like, obviously they're supposed to drink a bunch of water in the day, but when you're out for drinking, you drink faster than you would during the day because you're wanting the buzz or whatever that is. So you're filling it up quicker, obviously.
How was that, Rachel, in the restroom?
Oh, my God, I love it so much.
Well,
about
that's what we were just talking about.
You were the first to break the seal, and that's why you were the second.
Now
also.
This is your third.
Oh, no, I pee all the time.
Because that's an actual thing. When you break the seal, you have to keep going.
Because your Barrow's receptors are weak. You need to strengthen them.
Is that like Kegels?
Where's Brad? Let's get him on the line.
He's at work right now. He won't be home until 8:30.
Is work mean golfing?
No, huh? He's an actual real
pro. Okay. He's actually working as golf pro.
He's making me moan.
Eric used to be golf pro.
Yeah,
I was going to say. Hold on. Hold on.
13 years. Baroreceptors are...
The nerves that tell your brain that the bladder's full.
I need to get those shut off.
I need to get those cauterized.
Oh my god!
Can you imagine?
You'd be pissing your pants. You'd be like, actually, I've seen that at a party. I watched a guy stand there talking to someone and having a conversation. Obviously not sober, but like, he just was peeing his pants while he was doing it.
That's funny because remember when I lived in Omaha with Rucker Roger? And you know Roger.
I don't remember, but you told me stories.
Roger and his saying, oh my god, my guys,
whenever
my
Roger got
so
drunk,
tight.
He wanted everyone to touch his muscles.
Yeah. And he was not a muscular guy.
No.
He was a guy that looked
lanky.
Like Finch from American Pie that we were referencing earlier before we started recording. And he had this friend, or his wife had this friend named Sarah, who I don't know his name, I don't really know her, so I don't care.
Fucker.
She would.
Not literally.
Pee herself every time she got drunk.
Oh no,
and
that's
so
horrible.
Her husband was much shorter than her, and she was a tall woman.
So he was like long
and so when they would lay on a couch, when they would get drunk and stay at someone's house, she would be the big spoon, he would be the little spoon.
That's right, and she peed all over his phone and wallet.
And she peed on him during the night, and peed all over his wallet, so he gets up the next morning and his money is all, like, saturated with piss.
That's gross. This is a gross story.
It is a gross story.
It's same on the line of the story, though.
So anyway, that she needed a little tougher, whatever you call it.
Bukkake. What was it?
It was definitely not called that. I like how Cruz just pulls out a, hey, you know what I'm thinking about, guys?
Just don't start throwing around Japanese terms you don't know what they mean.
I know what that means. That's why it's super embarrassing.
Kaizen. What she needs is a little Kaizen.
Yeah, here's something I want.
Continuous improvement.
What was it, though?
Yeah, what are we...
The Barrow's receptors.
Barrow's receptors.
There it is.
There we go. Like the other day, we were trying to talk about a... let me get it right, because I like to say it wrong. It's a... What's...
I don't know, Strauss.
Someone that looks like you?
Doppelganger. And what were you saying?
I called him a... First, I called him a dingleberry.
Oh, no, that's a different...
And then I called him a dinglebopper.
A dinglebopper is what she's like, oh, is that like a dinglebopper?
Yeah, that's on Little Mermaid.
I don't really know what that is, but I can imagine it.
A doppelganger is like the person that looks just like you. And so I was like, I don't know.
And I was like, what you're
saying
is not a thing.
And a dingle bopper is the guy's bum looks just like your bum?
You would think so.
You're my butt double. You're my butt double.
Let's compare
butts. I don't know how you figure that out.
Go cams.
Right?
Go cams.
I'm in a movie.
We'll compare butts.
Yeah, no, I would have a butt double.
I could do that.
Is that a butt double? Is that different from a double butt?
A bubble butt?
That is very different.
I was going to say, if you wanted like a bigger butt, I could be your butt stunt double for you.
You'd be butt
that
buddies.
That is nice. Thank you. I would appreciate that.
Especially, you know, Al's been having a good time the last few days.
I know. She's pretending she's not a real person.
I'm excited.
I'm on vacay, bitches.
Yeah. All the food. All the booze.
I like that. If I opened a restaurant bar, I'd call it that. All the food, all the booze.
That's about right. It's like, if and then in parentheses, it's like only on vacay.
If an L opened one, she'd call it just fluffy. She says, I'm feeling fluffy. That's what she says all the time.
Is that because she's a fluffer?
Oh, you know what
I love, in the
porn industry.
No, I don't.
What?
That keeps the guy
me neither. I don't know what that is.
But, hello, come on now.
Cruise definitely.
I do. I totally know what that is. It's the girl who keeps the penises hard between tapes.
It's not always a girl.
Girl or boy.
Then I would... What? I would not call my restaurant that.
You're like the, you know, updating the hair and the makeup, except it's not the hair or the makeup.
Oh. It might be the hair, it's the main star.
Anymore, there's... Yeah, in the 70s, there was hair.
You could be updating the hair.
Oh, yeah, when they...
pick it out.
Now it's...
Like
now
a fro.
Fro-pro.
Is that fro noises?
That's what you do?
She's like, oh.
You have to.
This is definitely what it sounds like. So I don't know. Jeezy
peeps.
See? Learn a lot of stuff.
Lots of stuff. How do we know?
A lot of good beer.
God, seriously. Did you have a bad beer here?
No, I didn't.
No.
What did I tell you?
Yeah, right. This was great. You know, it's one of those things where sometimes when you go to a brewery and someone says, every single beer is good. You're like, okay, well, they probably had a couple of good beers, and then they're overselling it a little bit because they got drunk.
Which I did, just so you know. But I was still...
But
now there are three of you, and we have witnesses.
But Rachel is definitely...
Yes.
Exactly.
I right. tried beers that I didn't think I'd like, and I like them.
Yeah. Because that we went IPA on that tour, good. And you gave us an IPA, and I was like, I'm not going to like this. And I drank, and I was like, why do I like this IPA? Mm-hmm. And I, because I just...
My advice, don't ask why.
No, I
mean,
didn't.
Ask who, what, when, where, what.
How.
You know, all that's how. Oh. But don't ask why, because why, the answering of why almost inevitably requires an act of faith.
That was deep.
Oh, my God.
And unless you're prepared to do that, don't do it. Don't ask why.
You know, I hard sold.
You can say, what is it about this IPA that I like? I don't know.
It's the fact that it doesn't taste like eating grass.
Okay, there you go.
Or like...
Am I a cat?
Like your cat.
Doesn't make you go...
But yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, we went on the original tour, and I was telling him, I'm like, I drink beers, and I loved all of them, and we should just go here and...
And it's funny, too, because Anel is kind of like our blind taste tester, because I like beer quite a bit.
Wow, I thought she could see.
And no, she is. No, no, she has no idea what's going on.
You would think so.
She's really,
she thinks
really good.
We're all Asian right now. She's no idea.
Like my child.
Well, oh, pick your color.
Okay. Calm yourself, Rachel. Calm yourself.
So anyway, so.
I'm squinting. Oh,
you pick your color. You pick your color.
Japanese.
So, Anel, it's a more of a wine drink.
Yeah, I would pick up, like, wine or a vodka drink before beer. But I'm coming to really enjoy it. And so I liked all of these.
And so great. Now you've realized that wine is just made from grape juice, and mm-hmm. vodka is flavorless.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's why you have to add
the best vodkas are flavorless.
That's why you have to add shit to it.
You add, fruit juice to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, these were great. Like those.
Well, I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. I like the little sneak peek there.
Shh. What are you talking about? We didn't go anywhere we weren't supposed to.
There was